Inspectors general across government are facing delays and denials when they ask for access to information. The inspector general at the Justice Department, Michael Horowitz, detailed a disagreement his office has with the FBI at a House Oversight and Government Reform Committee hearing. General Horowitz also is chair of the Council of the Inspectors General on Integrity and Efficiency, and he's here to talk about the implications for access denial and delays. General Horowitz, thank you very much for coming back on the program. What are the facts of the case regarding the FBI as you describe them to the Oversight Committee? Thank you for joining me today.
Well, it's great to be back, Francis. Thank you for having me. The cases discussed before the committee last week involved two FBI whistleblower retaliation allegations that we had jurisdiction to review. We had made document requests in the two cases, one this past September, one in October, so 3 and 4 months ago. The FBI had made partial productions to us. We set a deadline for final production of February 2nd. The FBI informed us that they needed more time because they needed to continue to review the records to determine whether there were certain documents in there that it believed, the FBI believed, we were not legally entitled to access, despite the fact that in our view and in the view of the other 71 federal inspectors general, the law is clear, the IG Act couldn't be clearer, that we get access to all documents in our agency's possession, in the department's possession, so that we can do our work.
The details of that case are written out. My colleague Mike O'Connell writing about this on federalnewsradio.com. And Mike reports that the FBI now is refusing your office's requests. What's the broader implication of this if an agency is able to say, we choose for whatever reasons we want to offer to not comply with a request from an inspector general?
It's very troubling. And at the hearing, myself, Art Elkins, the EPA IG, and Kathy Buller, the Peace Corps IG, detailed the impact it's having on our work. And that's why 47 IGs sent the letter last August to the Congress explaining the implications of that, which is we cannot be expected to undertake all the work that we're being asked to do if the agencies we're overseeing get to decide for themselves what records we're allowed to see. That's not what the Inspector General Act provides for, and it can't be allowed to happen.
What's the remedy for that, though? I mean, do you have recourse? Does Congress have recourse? Does the secretary of an agency who relies on the inspector general to produce information to help him or her run his or her organization better have recourse? Who can do it?
Well, the IGs don't have recourse under the IG Act. There's no mechanism by which we can do it, enforce it ourselves. The head of the agency can instruct the components to produce the material despite their objections. In our situation, the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General have done something slightly different and significantly different in that what they've said is FBI withhold, if you, FBI, are withholding certain records from the IG for legal reasons, send them to us, we'll review them, and if we conclude that the IG's review would be helpful to us in managing the department, then we can authorize you to give it to them. And so while we've gotten the documents through that process, it means rather than the IG making the decision as to what's important for the IG and whether the documents are needed for and are useful to our review, it's a decision the Attorney General has to make. And that completely undercuts our independence, and that's why bipartisan members of Congress are concerned about it, and we've reported it to them. The appropriators took action last December by putting in place a provision that prohibited the FBI from using funds appropriated in that FY 2015 bill to withhold records from the Justice IG that caused delay to our work, impeded our work. In fact, that's what occurred when this event happened last week on February 2nd, and that's why on Tuesday the 3rd, I sent the letter to the appropriators as the law that they passed provides, notifying them that in fact the FBI was using funds to undertake this document review for the purpose of deciding which records we could get and which records they did not believe we were legally entitled to get.
So Is it appropriate to say that the FBI is, in this case, breaking the law? I mean, they're doing something that they're spending money on something that they were specifically forbidden by Congress to do.
In our view, that's correct, which is why we sent the letter to the appropriations committees, as the statutes in Section 218 of the appropriations bill. If your listeners want to look it up, it's Section 218 of the Cromnibus that was passed in December. That has the provision in there prohibiting the use of funds, and in the second sentence of that provision, it instructs the IG, myself, to notify them within 5 days of a violation of the provision.
Michael Horowitz is the Inspector General at the Justice Department and a witness at the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee hearing last week titled Inspectors General, Independence, Access, and Authority. And we've talked about access and authority so far in our conversation, Michael. The independence part of this, how does this inability to access information that you need to conduct investigations impact the independence of the Office of the Inspector General, not just the Justice, but all across government?
When Congress passed the IG Act, I think it's clear from the plain language of the statute that it authorized and empowered inspectors general to decide for themselves what was relevant, what's responsive, and what is needed to do their reviews. If there are records in an agency's files that an inspector general believes it needs to undertake a review, we need to have access to them. It can't be the case that the head of the agency decides whether we see something or not. Whether with the best intentions or not, that is not independent, and it can and should raise questions for folks who are watching these events to ask, are we allowed to do the independent work that Congress has asked us to do?
When we spoke about this the last time, Michael, the conversation that we had essentially revolved around the idea that one point that you did have in your favor was the ability as an organization of the Council of Inspectors General to just call attention to these problems when they arise, to bring awareness, as you've obviously done to Chairman Chaffetz and the Oversight and Government Reform Committee. Is there activity that you could foresee or that you know already that SIGI will undertake to at least try to call attention to this issue? Because, as I mentioned, you weren't the only witness at this hearing. And you mentioned Mr. Elkins, the Inspector General at the EPA, and others testifying, and my colleague Michael O'Connell writing about all of your colleagues testifying at this hearing. Is there something that you as the IG community as a whole can do, do you believe?
One of the key abilities that we have, obviously, is to band together and to raise these issues in a strong, unified voice. And you saw that last week at the hearing when we had, I think, in excess of two dozen representatives of other IG offices sitting behind the three of us for the full hearing supporting what we did. And there is talk of a potential IG Reform Act bill moving through Congress. There might be opportunities there to try and work on these issues. And both Chairman Chaffetz and Ranking Member Cummings made it clear that they fully intend to continue the dialogue and continue to push for the agencies to work out these issues. So a key for us is making sure that the leaderships of our agencies and the executive branch and the leaders in the legislative branch are committed to pushing these issues forward. And we certainly, and I certainly as chair of SIGI, intend to continue to speak in a very strong and loud voice on these issues.
It's striking to me because as I watched your testimony and then the Q&A with the members of the committee, read my colleague's report, read your written testimony and so on. I mean, essentially, inspectors general on some occasions are pretty much in the position of being in punching contests with the leaders of the organization. I mean, that seems to me that's kind of where you find yourself today. You're in a direct battle with your office, with the office of the Attorney General of the United States. Am I overstating it? Maybe.
No. Look, we've been in this back and forth with primarily the FBI. But other parts of the department, including the leadership of the department, on the disagreement. I mean, it's a fundamental disagreement we have on what the IG Act says in Section 6A and what the statute means. And Kathy Buller at Peace Corps has had the same issues, and she obviously testified strongly about that with regard to the Kate Pusey Act. She has essentially the same issue, where she wants to get records, and she had to enter into a memorandum of understanding with her agency to get records. That's completely inconsistent. Requiring that from an organization is completely inconsistent with the IG Act.
General Horowitz, what do you expect to see next come out of this? You mentioned that Chairman Chaffetz, Ranking Member Cummings, both are thinking, talking, I imagine dialoguing with the IG community about an IG Reform Act. Are there other elements of issues that you have are having or your peers are having that you could expect to see included in something like that, pertinent to the topics discussed at this hearing, independence, access, authority?
Well, it certainly is something that we as a community, IG community, are talking about, which is, as a matter of course strategy, how do we push these issues forward, along with several of the other issues that are of great importance to us in the IG community. We have another hearing, it looks like, in a couple of weeks on IG-related topics. That may be another opportunity to talk about it, but we also have interactions with IDU, particularly on the Appropriations Act and with the appropriators, given the Section 218 issue that I separately and uniquely have to deal with. So I think we've got a number of vehicles to continue to push forward, but as you said earlier, recognizing that we have no direct enforcement mechanism or means by which to call and force this issue to be resolved. And as I said at the hearing, one of the frustrations, frankly, is last May, the Justice Department sent my issues at the leadership's made this decision to send these issues to the Office of Legal Counsel for its review and decision. And here we are in February now, and we still have no decision. So as I mentioned last week at the hearing, it's long past due to get that answer, because an opinion from the Office of Legal Counsel that said Section 6A means what it says, as we in the IG community think, and frankly, as every member in Congress that I've had a chance to talk to and their staffs believe, then, of course, this issue is resolved, and it's clear we get the records. If they rule against us and find that Section 6A doesn't mean what it says, then, of course, we will go to Congress with a clear roadmap on how to fix the problem. And that's what we need. We need resolution. It's time to get this resolved. The status quo means the IGs are living in the universe that suggests Section 6A doesn't mean what it says. And so we've got to move on from that.